I'm glad it's missions conference coming up. Amen. I tell you, I start getting excited this time of the year because I know that Word for the World's mission school's around the corner and get to see some of my missionary friends. Missionaries are my friends. Amen. And I get to meet with them a whole lot more than you do. They come down to my shop all the time because I offer free services to them. Amen. So anytime you offer something free and a missionary hears it, they show up. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
That missionary just put his head down. He didn't even make eye contact with me when I said that. Amen? But missionaries, they're dear to my heart. I love them. Brother Stacy is doing pretty good recovering right now, so keep him lifted up. And doctor said he'll make a full recovery. He had a brain stroke or something is what it was. It wasn't necessarily a brain aneurysm, but he did. What, huh? That's what it was, wasn't it? Brain bleed stroke is what he had. So his body is already absorbing the blood and all that, so keep him lifted up. And I do like mission time, amen. And you'll think, what's this message got to do with missions? This is a two-part message. My wife begged and pleaded with me to break it up in two. She said our kids do have to go to school tomorrow, so we're not to preach till 9:30 tonight, amen. And if we're late tonight, it's cause of that thing again. Every time I get up to preach on a Sunday night, we got to do that dreaded what do you call that? We just had financial report. Yeah, all the money stuff. Amen. It gets all y'all in a bad mood, so I'm not going to preach on money tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says this: for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to leave that last section to you one more time. And it says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what?
Heart.
All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help me preach this message the way you put it on my heart, Lord. I pray what's said to bring honor and glory to you. I pray that you would stir our hearts, Lord, to be focused about missions, Lord. A week and a half when our mission conference starts, I pray for Brother Vic again tonight, Lord, that you would help him as he prays about the messages to preach. I pray that you'd help Pastor for next Sunday morning for the message to preach there, Lord. Help us, Lord. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit of God, and we can't do anything without your power, and we know you've already given that to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that. Help us to put these missionaries on the field. Help us to keep them on the field, Lord. And Lord, we do want to be on the firing line. Help me stay on the firing line tonight, Lord. I may not be in a third world country or any of that stuff, but every Christian in here is on the firing line, winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, most of all, somebody in here tonight don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Tonight I pray that they come to a saving knowledge of you. Thank you for those that made a decision this morning to follow you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want you to think about something tonight for just a minute. And most of the time, us Christians, I'm not going to preach a lot on this one thought before I go on. But I want you to think about what this verse has said here in that first part. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. I laugh because people say that you don't take a knife to a gunfight, right? And they say those sort of things and all of that. Devin, good to see you back up there again, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see Devin back in church.
Yeah.
Amen. Pray for you. Anyway, it's good to see him up there. Amen. It's better than seeing nothing up there. Amen. But the Bible describes this book and compares this book as a two-edged sword. And you and I, when we go outside these doors and we're out fighting the battle and we're on the firing line and we're trying to be an onward Christian soldier, all those things we sing tonight and everything else, it amazes me how much the child of God does not understand this book. It amazes me how little the child of God, I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptists, how little they know about this book and how it operates and how it works. Amen. If you'll look at these words here, and we're going to go over them one by one in a minute, but it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of two-edged swords in my life. Amen. I've seen them throw an apple up and slice them in half in midair and all that kind of stuff. And they say your knives can be so sharp they'll split a hair. Amen. That's pretty hard to do. I don't know if I've ever seen that done in real life or not. But this book has that kind of power. Amen. But this, you know where this book spends most of its time? On the shelf. In the back seat of the car. I don't see it here, and I can't preach on it here because I look from time to time. But I've been in a church before when church was over, and I'm talking about Sunday night church. I'm not talking about Sunday morning to Sunday evening. Every now and then, y'all might see mine sitting back there between Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's because I got 20 more at home, amen? So I'll leave it here from Sunday morning to Sunday night. But I was at a church for a long time and went around the country preaching different places and all that. And it amazed me to come into the church house and see so many people's Bibles left inside the church. You know what that tells me? They ain't reading their Bible. They don't have what they need that God has given us to fight the battle with. Amen. This is our sword. This is our weapon when we go outside these doors. Not only our weapon to help win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is our weapon to help quench the fiery darts of the devil. Amen. And knowing Scripture and having them in your heart is a powerful, the Bible says, a powerful two-edged sword. Amen. I want to look at these three words tonight, and I'm going to preach a little message here, I hope, and when I get to the end, it'll have something to do with missions, amen, if it all goes right. If it don't, then maybe something else will hit, amen. But anyway, Paul understood the importance of this. Paul understood the power that was in the Word of God. He understood what this book can do. In Romans 1:16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know why those children got saved this morning? It's because the power of this book right here. I got the privilege of leading somebody to the Lord Wednesday night, a teenager that we all know, and he come to me and he said, "I want to talk to you." And I said, "Well, that's good." Because, you know, I like to talk to them teenagers every day. I'm real nice to y'all, ain't I? That's right. Shake your head no. Don't lie in church. I'm not nice to them, amen. I'm rough to them and mean to them and everything else. But I love them, amen. And he came to me and I told him, I said, "Listen, if you want to get saved, I want you to understand one thing. Ain't nothing I can do to save you. Ain't nothing I can pray to save you. Ain't nothing I can do to save you." I said, "It's all about this book and what's in it and whether you believe it." Amen. And you know what? This book has the power to change lives. That's later on in the message anyway. But Paul understood that. And you know what? That's why Satan has tried so hard to water this thing down. He has. I mean, there's every perversion of this book out there that you can imagine. Just like that missionary said this morning, them groups try their best. Hey, what's so scary about that book? It's got a smiley face on it. And you can maybe get a paper cut off of it, but you know what's in that book? It's powerful. That's why people are scared of it, amen? But this book right here, if we look at these three things, it says Satan has done everything he can to water this thing down, to kick it out of our courthouses, to kick it out of our schoolhouses, to kick it out of everything he can. And I'm telling you, he's winning the battle in America, is he not? He is, amen. And I'm telling you, if we don't watch it, we're going to be in trouble. We're already in trouble, amen. But all these different perversions to water this thing down because he knows how powerful this book is. Hey, it even says, this ain't why I love preaching that one message, but it says that you have to be careful when the Word of God gets out there, when it gets into the heart, because it's so hard for him to pluck it out of the heart of man. You know what he wants to do? He just stop you to start with.
Right.
If he can stop you from winning somebody to the Lord or telling somebody else what's inside this book, he's already won the battle, amen. Because he knows if he can stop you from opening your mouth outside these doors, then he ain't got nothing to worry about.
Right.
Amen. He tries to stop these missionaries all the time from getting to the field. He tries everything he can to keep this word from getting outside of these four walls. And I'm telling you, the Christians we're working around with today is doing a pretty good job, ain't he? Amen. Say amen right there. You know it's true. You think about how many people you've told. Anyway, I'm going to be nice anyway. All right, let's go on. Y'all don't want to hear all that. Three adjectives describing the Word of God that we see here is quick and powerful and sharper. I just want to mention a few incidences here about these words. I was thinking about this all week, about how the Word of God works in our lives. And God describes His Word as being quick. Amen. Think about that word, quick. You know those friends that brought that one to the Lord and lowered him down through the roof and all that stuff. I want you to think about how quick the healing power of Jesus' words are. Amen. I think about somebody and I prayed about whether I could use this or not, and I didn't get no note from the Lord. I'm sorry, some of you television people out here that love you television preachers, I'm probably going to disappoint you here for a minute. Amen. But I used to get a crack out of this because when I was lost, I used to watch some of them on Sunday morning to laugh. Amen. I thought they was goofy as all get out. I was lost on my way to hell, and them people goofy as all get out. There was one particular one that's still on the radio now. I don't watch her on the TV anymore because it's too early in the morning and stuff, named Ernest Angley. How many of you ever heard old Ernest Angley? That's a short, fat preacher. Now, I'm sorry if I'm going to hurt some of you's feelings. It's all right. I prayed about it, and God said, let the trigger go. Amen. But I was thinking about him, and I was thinking about how quick the Word of God is. I was thinking about when Jesus told that man to get up. What did he do? He said, take thy bed and get up. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was there, he probably didn't get up like me and Brother Doug does. When me and Brother Doug get up, I mean, when we get through praying, it's holding on to everything and trying to get up because our backs are shot and our knees are shot and all that. I believe when Jesus told that old boy to get up and take thy bed, I believe he jumped right up and took his bed. Amen. Because the Bible says when Jesus spoke, it was quick. Amen. And I've heard old Ernest Angley. I tell you, some of you ain't seen him. Don't waste your time looking him up. But somebody brought this to my attention, and we was talking about faith healing and all that stuff. And if you've ever watched him, his big thing was to heal the deaf. Amen. That was his big ordeal, and throwing crutches and all that. And I used to just laugh because it was so funny to me. But he'd get one of them deaf people up there, and he'd start rubbing in their ears and doing all that stuff. And he says, evil and foul spirit, come out! And he would yell like that. And then he'd whisper in that ear, he'd say, baby. And they'd go, baby! Baby! Is that what they did? Let me tell you something. If God would heal them, they would say, baby. Just plain and clear as the day is long. You know why? Because the Word of God is powerful. It is quick, amen. And I'm telling you, if the Lord had something to do with it, it'd be quick and it'd be taken care of. Just like when He told that boy to get up, I could just see it now when He says, hey, get up off there and take your bed. Come on now. He would have jumped right up there. Amen. You can find that in Mark chapter 2. What about John chapter 11? Amen. Sitting there talking about the Lazarus. Amen. Woo, I tell you, I like that. You're talking about some miracles, amen. John chapter 11, when Mary was fretting and she was carrying on about the Lord being so late and all that stuff. In chapter 11, 38, says, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And you and I have heard those songs, 4 days late, but right on time and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how quick God's Word is. Amen. I want to tell you how quick it was when He come out of His mouth. He said, come forth, Lazarus. And it says there, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the very next verse says, and he that was dead came forth, amen, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Yeah. That wasn't a 4 day resurrection, amen. Jesus said, hey, come forth. And it says he got up and came forth. Yeah. He didn't even waste the time to untie himself, amen. He just got up and came on out. I'm telling you, the Word of God is quick. Not only that, but it's powerful. What about when those disciples were scared on the sea? Amen. Matthew chapter 8, and it says, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner is this that even the winds and seas obey Him. Not only was His Word quick, but His Word was powerful. When He spoke, things happened. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If you would use the Word of God every now and then in your life, some things might happen. Amen. Some things might change in your home if you would use the Word of God to get things done. Amen. It's powerful. Not only that, I think about this all the time, and I can relate to this myself. But that soldier that we read about over there in Matthew chapter 8, same chapter a little bit before, but that soldier that had that sick one that was sick at home, remember? And he went to him, and Jesus said, "Well, I'll go there and heal him." And he said, "Whoa, wait a minute. You don't need to go there. I already know if you'll just speak the word, he'll be healed." Amen. It's powerful. He didn't even have to be there. Amen. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, it says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and thou hast as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." You know why? Because he spoke it. He just said, "Hey, it doesn't matter. Just say it." His faith said, "I just believe if you would say it." Just think what would happen if we really believed the Word of God. Amen. I'm not trying to set you up here. I'm just trying to help you. Amen. Not only is it quick and powerful, but it's sharp. Whoo! I'm glad the Word of God is sharp. You know what? How sharp it is. The Word of God will bring conviction on the spot. You know why that missionary fellow back there has so many saved everywhere he goes? Because the Word of God is sharp. I mean, it'll pierce right into the heart, amen. I mean, and you got one of them books in your pocket? Let me see one of them real quick. It is King James, ain't it? Okay, all right, amen. Don't mess me up here in the middle of the message, amen. Whew, that would be horrible. I want you to look at this little book. Look at that thing. Looks harmless, don't it? This thing will hurt you. If you're a sinner, this thing will hurt you, amen. Because you know what it'll do? It'll bring conviction on the spot. You know why? Because what's written in here. It's the words that God has spoken. It is His words. It is what He said. And not only is it quick and powerful, but it's sharp. I'm telling you, it don't take but just a few minutes. I'm glad He changed that to a couple. I don't think I've ever led nobody, Lord, in a couple of minutes. Amen. It takes a few minutes. Amen. But you can take this, and I tell you, it ain't nothing about that missionary band. It ain't nothing about me. It's about this book and what's in here. Amen. It's about these words that were written there. Now, what did that verse say? The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I think about, we talk about them all the time. We've mentioned them a lot in the last couple of months, but I think about that woman at the well, amen? Jesus was just having a talk with her, amen? I mean, they were just sitting by the well having to talk about drinking water and all that stuff. And that woman, he says, "Go get thy husband." And she says, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus just said, "Really?" Conviction on the spot. When Jesus starts speaking to your heart, amen, it brings conviction on the spot. I tell you, I've seen a lot of preachers dog that woman out that was brought in adultery. That don't bother me near as bad as preaching on those men that brought her, amen. I don't know what word it was that he wrote in the dirt, amen. I don't know what part of the Bible it was that he wrote on there, but whatever he wrote on the ground that was from God brought instant conviction and was sharp in those men's lives, amen. Because they turned around and walked away one by one, amen. Hey, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It just brings conviction all the way. Three objects tonight of the Word of God. We see the adjectives describing the Word of God. We see what it's compared to, which is the two-edged sword. And then we see the object of the Word of God, what it affects, and the object of it is the soul, the body, and the spirit. Amen? If we see these three things here, it says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. The joints and the marrow is the body, our body. Amen? And I tell you, the effects that it has on it, number one, if you let the Word of God deal with you, you let the Word of God have power in your life, it's a soul changing. Amen? Hey, it will change who you are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, "We are confident." I say, wrong one, amen. I didn't write that one down. Anyway, the soul that will change your soul, it'll change your direction, amen. Not only that, but it will change your body, it will change your direction. Now, I ain't preaching at nobody. I don't see nobody in here that this comment goes toward. But I'm going to tell you something. And you can get mad at me if you want. I'm past all that. Amen. I'm getting too old for you worry about you being mad at me. My wife's mad at me all the time now. I'll get over it. Amen. But let me tell you something. If you want your life changed, you need to let the Word of God do some work in your life. Amen. If you want your direction changed in life, you need to let the Word of God do something for you. Amen. I think about all the time. Brother Chris has more patience than I do. I'm telling you, you think he's bad. Just think if you don't want... I don't have patience for this stuff. He does. But I'm going to tell you something. Lord help me. Be nice. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a problem. These people don't understand this. When you got to come at the end of service all the time, every month, and get food out of the food pantry, you're not letting the Word of God do anything for you. Amen? You need to let the Word of God do something for you. And I tell you, maybe one day God will help you get on the other side. Amen? It's the truth. And it aggravates the far out of me when so many people come with their hand out all the time and refuse to hear the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, there's more that you can get inside this building hearing the preaching than you'll ever get out of a cardboard box out the back. Amen. You get in here and get fed by the Lord. You get in here and get under the preaching and let that Word of God do something for you, and it will change your direction. Amen. It changed mine. I'll tell you, preacher, I got to use some of that example in my life. The first year I got saved, let me tell you something. The first year I got saved, I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for God's people in cardboard boxes. Amen. I wouldn't. I was there. Amen. Hey, I would come home from church and they'd be like, what are we going to eat today? And I'm being as serious as I can be. What are we going to eat today? I have no idea what we're going to eat today, but God said we're going to eat. Amen.
Amen.
I'd get home and while I was in church, somebody went and put food on my porch of my house. Happened over and over and over again. Hey, I was trying my hardest. I was trying to learn the Word of God. I was trying to do what God was telling me to do. I was listening to everything. I was going on visitation. I was doing all that. And I'll tell you something, while God was feeding my heart, when God was working, He changed my direction. Amen. I tell you, after a year or so of that, God put me on the other side. He said, now let's try this side for a while. Let's see if you can do what they did for you. Amen. Ain't that what missions is about? Seeing what you can do now for what God has already done for you. I mean, God fed me. God took care of me. God put me on the other side. And He said, all right, son, now it's your turn. Can I trust you to do the same thing? Most of us in here tonight are on that side of the fence. Amen. Most of us in here tonight are the ones that make them numbers up. Most of us in here tonight are the ones that keep these missionaries on the road and all that. Don't you want to stay on this side? Amen. Not only will it affect the soul and the body, but it affects your spirit. Amen. It'll change your eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, that's a sweet promise to me. I had a funeral the other week. My Uncle Steve, y'all, we mentioned it here in the church, but his wife passed away. Sister Donna passed away. And I tell you, when we were sitting there at the funeral, they played those songs and stuff at the funeral and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just me, but I'll go look at anybody you want me to go look at. I'll walk up there with you and all that, but I don't really get into that myself. You know what I mean? I don't get into standing over the casket for hours and things like that and looking, because you know why? There ain't nobody there. Ain't nobody there. If they're saved, let me tell you something. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're where I want to be. Amen. They're with the Lord Jesus Christ, because to be absent from the body is to be there. I'm telling you, when you let the Word of God affect you and you get saved, let me tell you something. Them kids that got saved today, their eternity has forever changed. Amen. They are going to be with the Lord whenever they die. Amen. What a blessing that is. When I go to sleep at night, I don't have to worry about whether I wake up or not. I know where I'm going to be. I mean, preacher's got a different attitude than I got. I'm not looking for the next bus out, amen. He said he's all right with it, but I'm not looking for it. But I tell you, can you imagine closing your eyes? And the next thing you open, when you open up, you're right in front of the Lord. I mean, I'm not talking about singing about Him. I'm not talking about thinking about it. The Bible tells me, Paul tells me several times, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you know what? I believe that. Can you imagine waking up being right there in front of the Lord like that? No, if you just let the Word of God do something in your life. I'm going to tell you the action of the Word of God, and I'm almost done. The action of the Word of God. Listen to that last verse. It says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, that's what missions is about, is your heart. Next week when I preach the message Sunday night, if God gives me the liberty to preach it, it's going to be about the heart, because that's what God deals with. That's what God works with, is the heart. Amen. He says that the Word of God, the action part of it, is He's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, you can fool your mind. Think about that for a minute. You can fool your mind. When I was in the Navy, they taught me how to fool my mind. Them suckers are good at talking you into doing anything. Amen. I mean, I'm older now, and I think back then when I was 20 and 21 in boot camp and air crew school and all that stuff, the stuff that they talked me into doing. Amen. And I didn't even realize they were talking me into doing that stuff. Amen. I thought I was being cool or something. Amen. One of the things that we did is we part of our graduation from air crew school was to jump out of a perfectly good helicopter into the middle of the ocean with 100 pounds of flak gear on. Now, I'm 43 now. That makes no sense to me whatsoever, amen, to jump out of a good helicopter into the middle of the ocean for no reason, amen. You know why I did that? Because they mess with your mind. It's easy to fool yourself and fool your mind. You can tell yourself all kinds of good ideas that ain't got nothing to do with a good idea. Amen. You can convince yourself that what you're doing is the right thing to do. Amen?
Right.
You can. Our mind is so messed up. God's Word says so many things about our mind and all that stuff that we can really fool ourselves in the mind. And you know what the sad part is? That's where we normally make all of our decisions, is in our mind.
True.
You think about that for a minute. We get all these thoughts in our mind. We get all these things going on in our mind, and then we react on it. Next thing we know, we're in all kinds of trouble. You ever heard that saying, fly off the handle?
Yeah.
You know why you fly off the handle? Because in your head.
Yeah.
You don't take time to think the thing through. You don't take time to think what consequences is going to come from what I'm fixing to say or do. Amen? Husbands, have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
Say something real stupid to your wife, you know, and go, that sure didn't sound right. I mean, even sometimes, when I'm not talking about fighting or something. I mean, when you say something and you go, well, I didn't think that through very well, did I? It's because you flew off the handle in your head. You just going off a whim and said something stupid. Didn't make no sense. That's where we react most of the time on our thoughts. That's how we react, is on what's in our head all the time. And our head is the most messed up thing on our body. Make real stupid mistakes, and I'll tell you, things don't last long when we make our decisions in our head. Because when the very next thing comes along, we change our mind again. Amen?
Yeah.
I'll tell you where God deals with. God don't spend much time with our minds. He don't. He leaves that up to you and I. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He leaves that up to you. He don't mess with your mind. You know what He's concerned about is your heart.
Amen.
That's what He's aiming for, is your heart. You know why those people turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because of this little book. It ain't because He's getting in their head. It's because it's affecting their heart. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, if y'all get that tonight, that one thing tonight, that God deals with the heart. Ezekiel, when God was dealing with the children of Israel, and He's bringing them back to Him over there in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, the Bible says this, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. God dealt with the heart. He didn't tell the children of Israel, let me convict your head to follow me. Let me give you a pep talk and make you do something, amen. You know, that I get so frustrated, and Brother Vic's not one of those kind of people, but Pastor Chris has been in these meetings, and I'm sure the missionary friend, Brother Doug's been in them. Anybody that's been out raising support's been in those mission conferences where they want to mess with your head. Let me tell you something. I can promise you, I can put a slide presentation together to make people give me money.
Sure.
I can. I know how to do that.
Yeah.
Brother Chris can.
Yeah.
Brother Doug knows how to do that. That missionary friend back there knows how to do that. You know what you got to do? Put a bunch of starving kids in it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Put a bunch of old men that's fixing to die on it, that's smoking a cigarette, something like that, all that kind of stuff. Put all those pictures up there that jerk people's hearts, and or not their minds, amen. Not their hearts, their minds. And all that stuff, because you know what it does? It gets in their mind. Why do you say it don't get in their heart? Because I tell you, about 2 weeks later, you don't even remember nothing that was up there. You don't remember those starving children. You don't remember none of that stuff. You know why? Because it wasn't your heart that got affected. It was your mind that got affected. Amen? When your mind gets affected, it can quickly be changed. Hey, I can prove it. Whenever we take up faith promise, when is the greatest numbers come in? First 3 months?
Yeah.
4 months? Numbers are huge. You can answer that. The first 3 or 4 months. What happens after that? The numbers start dying off. You know, some of us are affected by our heart, but most people are affected in their head.
Yeah.
In that moment, that minute, they're willing to do all kinds of stuff, but 3 or 4 months later, they done forgot about that missionary that's on the field. They done forgot about that missionary that's struggling out there. They done forgot about Brother Manning that's out there with a broke transmission. They forget about those things because you know why? It just was in their head. It wasn't in their heart. That's why we make so many dumb mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
Here's what we're to do as child of God. Not to fly off the handle in our heads, but to pray. Seek God about the things that He wants to do in our heart. And let God change us our heart. I'm going to leave you with this verse for next week. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says this. Every man, think about this. Mission conference coming up in a week and a half. Every man according as he purposeth in what?
His heart.
In his heart. Let me tell you something. I understand now why Brother Homer would always say to pray. 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 Don't think and think and think. Pray. Pray about what God wants you to do. Pray about where He might want you to go. Pray about surrendering your life to missions. Amen. Pray about those things so that God can work on your heart. Amen. So that you know exactly what God wants you to do. He says, "Is every man purpose? Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." I'm telling you, when you really want to do something for missions, it ain't got nothing to do with the money. Missions really don't have anything to do with the money. That's what we have focused on, and that's what we have centered around is the money. But what missions is all about is your heart. Where's your heart at? You know, I thank God for that man that gave nine. I don't even know that man. I don't know nothing about that man. I thank God for that man. Amen. As willing to give that kind of money. That might have been exactly what God told him to do, was to give that $9,000 to our missions to help our missionaries on the field. But you know what God wants? God wants a surrendered heart. For whatever it is He tells us to do. Some of you, He may tell give a bunch of money like that. Some of you, He may say to be a pen letter or pal, whatever it's called, to some of these missionaries. I guess y'all text them now, but any of that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I like to see? I'd see God call somebody to the mission field. Amen. I'd like to see God call somebody out of this church to the mission field. I don't know why God put that on my heart this year, but when I started praying about this mission conference and stuff, I started praying that God would call some. Hey, we got some candidates, amen. We got some young people in here. Instead of wasting their life chasing the dollar and all that stuff, we got some young people in here. I pray that God gets a hold of their heart. Not their mind, but their heart. Maybe it's you, Rick. Nothing else is floating in there. Maybe that, you know, get that in that heart. Anyway, deal with his heart. about being surrendered to the mission field. Because I tell you, whenever you let the Word of God work in this heart, it's amazing what God will do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank